Well, this morning we are doing Rehoboam the Arrogant. Almost sounds like, king of the Middle East. But anyhow, Rehoboam is a king of Israel. And, the lesson starts out with John Wesley, and that he and his friends were made up, and it sounds kind of odd at this moment to think they started the Holy Club at Oxford, the Holy Club. So I imagine, at that time, that was a good title. I mean, today, if we went to a seminary and said, let's start a Holy Club, people would like, no, thank you, But anyhow, he and his friends were part of this Holy Club, and they had 22 personal questions that they were to ask themselves every day to evaluate what they had done. And a few of the questions are, am I honest? Can I be trusted? Am I proud? Did the Bible live in me today? Am I enjoying prayer? When did I speak to someone about my faith? Do I disobey God in anything? Am I jealous, impure, critical, irritable, touchy, or distrustful? That sounds like about five, not just one, And is Christ real to me? So that's just part of the 22. And what the lesson says is that we might be able to add to this list by asking God, what does God expect of us? And what are the qualities of being a good Christian and being what are the qualities of a good church, what the church should offer? But we will find answers to these and other vital questions in the next 9 weeks in which we're studying the Kings. I think I'm going to play Jackson. We bought Jackson these tapes of the Bible, what's in the Bible, okay? And they're really good. I mean, I'm listening to them. It's like, oh, I never knew that. Oh, I've been to seminary and doing this all my life. And it's like, whoa, when you think of it that way, it sounds pretty good. Well, anyhow, one of them is on the kings, all these kings of Israel. And, how on earth would you do all these kings and present them to a kindergarten kid and make it interesting? Well, they do. And plus informative. And also they have another one that Rhonda just purchased for Jackson, and she's using it downstairs, is What is Christmas? Where did all the Christmas traditions start from? And I knew parts of them, but this one that they go through really, points it out. The introduction is a man sitting there. He's the guy who wrote all this stuff. And then he has puppets and, characters and things. But, he goes, he pulls up an image of Santa Claus and says, where'd this guy come in? How did this get started? What are the trees and all that kind of stuff? So they go through asking all the different questions. And, is the date that Jesus, we celebrate as 2,000 years, back at zero, is that really the date? And he goes, no, it was about, probably 3 BC that Christ was born. And how that we came up with that number. I never knew that. I knew some people in their being antagonistic against the church and against Christmas and the Christmas celebration, they said, well, the Christmas was a pagan holiday. Well, it really wasn't a pagan holiday. The missionary went to Germany, and in Germany, the Thor was worshipped by thought that an oak tree represented Thor. And so you were forbidden to cut down an oak tree or Thor would kill you. So the missionary cut down an oak tree and Thor was not real. So then he pointed over to the evergreen and how that the evergreen is evergreen and how that that is a representative of Christ. And so he was taking them from worshiping a tree that they lived in fear of to a tree that was a symbol of Christ and so on. And then Saint Nicholas, and he was a real person, and he was a wealthy monk, and he went around buying, and Saint Nicholas and Santa Claus, Saint Nicholas, so had all those that went together. So anyhow, we won't go there. I didn't see him back there. didn't want to go into all that. But anyhow, in the next 9 weeks, we go over the kings and kind of what goes on in their life, and there's a number of kings that are in Israel. One of the things to remember is it's almost, you know, I thought of this as we were one other time when I was doing the study. If we went back to George Washington and went through till today, and all of our presidents, and were not only elected, but they were kings, and they would determine the religious qualities of the nation, you know, you would see good kings and bad kings. You know, while in Israel, that's basically what it was. It wasn't things that happened and transpired in 50 years. All these things went up and down, up and down. They were good, they were bad, they weren't kept. No, it was some, you know, hundreds of years. And so it'd be like going back to the beginning of our nation and saying, well, like we're trying to say now, that it was built on Christian principles. And now we have, and always have had people that have been trying to say it's not Christian. You know, all that, all those types of things. One area, and then I'll go on with the lesson. David Michael mentioned this, that whenever we consider ourselves a Christian nation, and then we call ourselves Christian, and then we go and bomb, and, you know, soldiers go and fight, and, you know, we have a just cause for what we feel these things are, well, then those people say, well, you're a Christian, you go kill all these people, you know, as a Christian nation. So it's, you know, people don't understand, sometimes we don't understand why things happen the way they do, and we just need to focus on what, you know, what Christ has done in us. Right. Yeah, they make it impossible. Yeah. Yeah, so some people just will not give in, you know, or will not do the right thing for the right reasons. So anyhow, we have these kings coming up. And the first lesson here narrates the rise of power of Solomon's son. And so I put Rehoboam and Jeroboam. We have Rio and Jerry. All right. Now, Rehoboam is Solomon's son. Okay, so Solomon had, you know, riches and wealth and everything, and he was known for his wisdom and his building projects. You know, he was a great builder in Israel. And but there was a lot of, and what I didn't particularly understand is after Solomon's death, the that was called Israel, the tribes were, you know, they always kept themselves a little separate from each other. You know, they were still part of Israel, but yet they were separate. Well, the 10 tribes come, 10 of the northern tribes come to Rehoboam and say, you know, we want these taxes, and, you know, we've been slaving away for your father. We want you to stop this. We want to be free and enjoy some of the things that we've been entitled to. Well, Rehoboam does not inherit the wisdom of his father. And Jeroboam, he's a guy that during Solomon's reign, the prophet came to Solomon and told him that Jeroboam was going to be a cause of division in his country. Well, Solomon tried to kill him, and Jeroboam runs off to Egypt. And he's in Egypt in exile. But after Solomon dies, he comes back to the northern tribes and he rallies them. You guys shouldn't be slaves to Jerusalem. You know, you shouldn't be slaves to Washington. You shouldn't be slaves to Washington. You should be independent, govern yourselves, and don't be slaves to the people who are in power. Okay, you know, we have the same criticisms going on today. So anyhow, Jeroboam comes back from Egypt, and he sees this opportunity to become a king. And so he rallies the northern tribes, and he brings their petition to Rehoboam. We want you to stop the taxations. And the lesson talks about they didn't do it in a bad way. It isn't like they showed up with their army and says, either do this or we go to war. They didn't do that. Verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 10 says, "And they sent and called him So Jeroboam and all Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam. So Jeroboam, the guy out of Egypt, rallies the northern tribes and says, you know, let's go to see Rehoboam and present our petition. Verse 4. Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore ease thou somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father and his heavy yoke that he put on us, so we will serve thee. So Jeroboam considers this, and he tells them in the next verse, so he had the people go away. Verse 8, we see that Jeroboam, he wasn't ready to make this, Rehoboam was, I see that's why I have it written down, because I get him confused. Rehoboam is in power, he's Solomon's son, and Rehoboam's, he's not ready to make this decision, so he sends them away. He says, come back in 3 days. You know, let me think about this. Well, Rehoboam had counselors. He had older men who were counselors, and he had younger men who were counselors. Well, the younger guys, they wanted Rehoboam to say, you know what? They want it less, let's make it worse. Let's just make it harder on them, and we'll teach them a lesson. You know, it's like the old T-shirt used to say, hang them, we'll teach them a lesson, you know? Well, they're dead. So Rehoboam has two counsels. The older ones, the older counselors say, you know what, they're right. They've been living under this servitude, they've had this heavy yoke upon them, and they can't survive doing this. You need to go along with them, you need to remove this yoke and make things easier for them because they have been it's been very difficult for them under your father's rule. Well, Rehoboam thinks about it and he says, he forsook the counsel of the old men, that's verse 8, and took the counsel of the young men that were brought up with him that stood before him. So he says, you know what, we're not doing to make it easier. So Jeroboam in verse 12, and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day as the king bade, saying, come again to me the third day. And the king answered them roughly. And King Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old men and answered them after the advice of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add thereto. Yes, we'll make it worse for you. That's always an encouragement. You think you got it bad now? Wait. Well, my father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was of God, that the Lord might perform his word, which he spake by the hand of Ahijah, the Shilonite, to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. What happened was, Jeroboam, the guy in Egypt, God had spoken through the prophet to tell him that he was going to kind of separate the kingdom. And God spoke this to the prophet that was going to happen. So according to the word of the Lord, it isn't that Rehoboam didn't have a choice. He refused the counsel that said, make it easy. He went with, let's make it hard. So Rehoboam then, according to what God had stated prior to him leaving Israel, was that he was going to be one who would split Israel. Okay, so got that? Got that clear as mud? Right. Well, you know, it's just like the greatest fear of the wealthy is that they're going to lose their wealth. You know, so some people, that's why the scripture says about when you got barns and the foolish man will look at his barns and say, you know what? I may lose this. I need to build bigger barns. And you have people trying to protect themselves from loss, and they won't give a dime. You know, well, in what they're doing is strangling their wealth, and what they don't lose, their kids or their grandkids will lose. So, That's why it's not good to be wealthy, you know, Cliff. It's because you just spoil your kids. They just throw it away. I wish that my dad would have done that, you know. But anyhow, so anyhow, they had this. So Rehoboam wouldn't listen. He wouldn't listen to what his advisors, the older advisors, the wise advisors, had been saying, and so he became very hard-nosed and decided that he was going to make it worse. Well, in Second Chronicles 11, verse 1, and when Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he gathered up the house of Judah and Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men, which were warriors to fight against Israel, that he might bring the kingdom again to Rehoboam. So what he does, okay, you don't want to listen, I'm going to go to war, I'm going to make you, civil war, I'm going to make you come under my authority. So he put together 140,000 men to go fight. So they got all these guys together, and they're going to go to war. Verse 2, but the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israel in Judah and Benjamin, saying, thus saith the Lord, ye shall not go up nor fight against your brethren. Return every man to his house, for this thing is done of me. And they obeyed the words of the Lord and returned from going against Jeroboam. So God stopped them. They put together a battle. They were going to go bring them back and make them subject. You know, basically it would have been a slave. The northern tribes would have been slaves to the southern, or there would have been such division and killing that there wouldn't have been anybody left. So Rehoboam, Solomon's son, verse 5, dwelt in Jerusalem and built cities for defense in Judah. So what he did then was, since he wasn't going to go up and bring the northern tribes back, he decided to fortify his own defenses. He's going to make himself so strong that the northern tribes, if they try to come get him, they're not going to be able to. So he builds up, all of the cities are become their little city fortresses. And he has, 23 wives, 400 concubines, and 38 sons, and 5,500. I mean, you know, he's got all these children. And so what he does is he sends them to these different cities, different towns, and they're in charge of the fortification, building up the cities, and preparing them in case there's a war. And so they strengthened, verse 17, so they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, strong. 3 years. For 3 years they walked in the way of David and Solomon. So they were good to they were men of the cause. They were men of serving God for 3 years. And then chapter 12, verse 1, and it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord. You know, he started saying, well, it's like, I've built this king. Look what I have done. You know, the old story of that Jesus uses about the guy, the rich man and Lazarus. You know, look what I have. You know, look what I have done. So Rehoboam falls into that same trap. Look what I've done. I've fortified the cities. I've made everything law. So therefore, I don't need God anymore. I've got my walls. So. And it came to pass that in the 5th year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord. So Shishak is Shishak. I listened to the audio so I would know how to pronounce the name. Shishak from Egypt comes and goes to war against Rehoboam and wants to conquer. So, and the reason, again, here is that Rehoboam had removed himself from God's protection. You see, we don't understand sometimes how much God protects us from. You know, sometimes we look at how bad things are, but But as Christians, we have to understand God has been protecting us. And it may be bad, but it could be a lot worse. You know, if bad things have happened, God has permitted it so that we would learn from it. If you think about it, when have we ever grown through ease? When everything is fine, I've got my wealth, I've got my vineyards, I've got my house, I've got my land, I've got all this. I will now take my ease and relax. We don't grow. We don't change. You know, we turn into a couch potato that turns into a French fry that becomes a potato chip, which becomes crumbs. So having problems, I don't like them. Please, I'm not asking for any, please. You know, I need some more problems here, Lord. No, I don't. Don't want any more. But anyhow, Rehoboam then, he's going to do this on his own, and he removes himself then from God's protection. And God says, okay, you want to do this on your own? Watch this. Shishak from Egypt comes over and starts conquering the cities and conquering his outposts, and he comes to Jerusalem. And so verse 7, then came Shemaiah, the prophet of Rehoboam, and to the princes of Judah, and were gathered together into Jerusalem, because Shishak had said to them, thus saith the Lord, ye have chosen me, and therefore have I also left you. You have forsaken me, excuse me. And therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishak. Whereupon the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, the Lord is righteous. So under the threat of things, of them being conquered by the Egyptians, they now say, okay, we give up, God, we turn ourselves over to you, we repent, and what we've done is wrong. And in verse 7, and when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, they have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance, and my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. So what happens is Shishak cannot destroy them, but he becomes kind of like their ruler, and Rehoboam is still in power, and they kind of live in a peace between them. But it all happened because Rehoboam wasn't smart enough to recognize when he had it good. So that's it. I'm done. Excuse me. Any questions? So you all figured out Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Rio and Jerry. Well, whenever we have that little thing of Jackson's, it's really funny because they go through this. They're singing a song, and the name comes up, and the king's in a cartoon, like a drawing of a king comes up, and they have thumbs up or thumbs down, you know, thumbs down or thumbs up, and they go along, and some, you know, all these kings, and it's pretty interesting. But to recap. That's something you do to tires. Rehoboam is Rehoboam is Solomon's son, and he takes over Israel, the whole nation. The 10 northern tribes come to Rehoboam and say, "We need to, you know, you need to lighten the load. You know, Solomon, your father, put us under a heavy yoke." The wise counsel of the elderly, of the older advisors, told Rehoboam, you know, you need to listen and not put such high tariffs and everything on them. And Rehoboam says, no way, we'll make it. You thought my father did it with whips, I'll do it with scorpions. We'll make it worse. Well, Jeroboam, he's in exile, and he comes back to the northern tribes, and he's the one who leads them to go against Rehoboam. And in the whole process, the nation splits, and that's how we come up with the northern tribes of Israel. and Jerusalem, Judah and Benjamin. Now, one of the things I forgot was that in the other tribes, all the ones that were in the northern area under Jeroboam, he wasn't a godly man. He had his idols to calves and whatever of the Egyptians. And all the people that were in the northern Israel under Jeroboam that wanted to stay true to God, they all left and came to Rehoboam. So that just, you know, really upped his strength for having such a small area of Judah and Benjamin. And they all, the guys who were upset with Jeroboam, they went to Rehoboam, to Jerusalem, and to the temple, and things like that. So that's how he ended up with so many people. But Rehoboam, you know, he didn't listen, and he forsook God, and he was going to get wiped out, and he repented, and God said, okay, we'll come back to protect you. Any other thoughts? So what do we learn from these two kings? Don't watch Tom and Jerry on TV. No. Go ahead. You want to say something? Yeah. 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 When God gives us, you know, a few, and that was a number of years ago, heard, the Ten Commandments were not restrictions. I mean, not necessarily to restrict us. They were to protect us. The commandments of God are for protection and for provision. So the Ten Commandments don't restrict us, they protect us. If you steal, they're going to pay a penalty. So they're protecting us from the penalty of stealing. You know, don't bear false witness. It protects us from the penalty of lying. So you see, whenever God sets up these things like don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't kill, you know, obey your parents and things like that. What he's doing is protecting us from the backlash of those sins and how those sins will eventually destroy us. And people who get caught up in these sins, eventually it causes them to fall. And so God is protecting us from those things. So, anything else? Any other thoughts? So, other thoughts? Anything? Okay. Well, you can go downstairs and eat donuts. Father, we do thank you that you watch over us and keep us. We thank you for your word, O God, that is a light to our path. And God, you inspire our hearts and give us direction. We ask, Lord, for your grace and your mercy to abound in our lives. And help us, Lord, to be thankful for all the things you've kept us from, for the strength you've given us to go through, for the ability that you have placed in our lives to grow in each situation. So bless, we pray, enlighten your word to us, we ask. Amen.